there.
Well, it's been a little bit, huh? It's been a little bit of lack of consistency, and been a while since the last episode of this podcast. And of course, you know, who knows, a year or two from now, since this thing comes out, you may not know the difference. But this is going to be one of my more special episodes. And the reason it's going to be special is because it is going to be a recap of my third year as a full-time freelancer. I did a recap of my first year, I did a recap of my second year, and even though I am almost halfway into this current year, what is my fourth year, it's important, I think, for me to share what my third year as a full-time freelancer looked like. What were the pros? What were the cons? What were the highs? What were the lows? Successes, failures, yada, yada, yada. This is what all of this episode is going to be about. All right. One thing that I think is very important is for me to share real numbers with you guys. And what I'm talking about is money. I'm talking about how much money did I make in 2016 as a freelancer doing this full time. Now, again, I shared these numbers for my first year. I shared these numbers for my second year. And I'm going to share them again for my third year. And this year, to sum up 2016 in my freelancing career, was both the most successful year, but also the most anxiety-filled year that I've had since freelancing. And I want to talk about, you know what, screw that. Let's get right into the money, right? You guys want to know how much money did I make this year as a full-time freelancer. Last year, I don't have it in front of me, and, you know, shame on me for not being prepared, but I made either just over or just shy of about the $70,000 mark. And this was a jump up from the year before, by, you know, $20,000-$25,000. So that was awesome. That was great growth. Coming into 2016, I was looking to do something similar. The ultimate goal for me was to make six figures. But to be honest with you, I thought, you know, that might be a little out of reach, somewhat of a pipe dream. In 2016, I made $130,000 or $630,693.97. So not only did I nearly double what I made last year, but I hit that, you know, for lack of a better term, glass ceiling of six figures. You would think if I was to just leave it at that and say, this is how much money I made, it would be super easy for you to think that I had the most baller year that I've ever had. And not only were things just fantastic all the way around, but here I am floating in all this, you know, new money that I've never had before. And life is just fantastic. And yeah, I mean, life is good. I mean, let's be honest. There's no way around it, right? You're sitting wherever you're at in your car, at home, in front of your computer. Maybe you're, you know, one of those crazy people who's listening to podcasts while you're on the treadmill or whatever. We all could use more money. I mean, there's just no getting around that, right? So to hear somebody say this number, that even to me, you know, I hear people talk about how much money they make or, you know, whatever, and it's like, that's just an obscene amount of money. Like, you have, like, what more do you want in life? And the number that I just read off was a very large number for me. I've never been close. You know, like I said, the year before when I was at the 70, maybe it was $75,000 mark, that's the most money I ever made in a year. So to get to six figures, I had this idea of what my life would be like when I was making six figures. You know, in this instance, not only did I make six figures, I was into, you know, I didn't just cross the six figure mark. I wasn't over by $1,000 or whatever. You know, I'm at the $130,000 mark. This last year was the most successful monetary wise I've had in freelance, and I'm going to explain how I got there. But it was also, it's also eye-opening in the sense that, I started to get a little complacent. And so now I have this anxiety a little bit about, you know, not only how do I follow it up, but because I had never made that amount of money before, you know, I wasn't super smart with my money. I'm by no means did I, you know, go to the casino and waste all that money. you know, my family is in a good place financially. You know, we have a certain number of months. I think we're at the 6 month mark, you know, money saved up that we can last if no income comes in. But I certainly enjoyed my success. I spent a lot of money on things. You know, I did make some practical purchases. We finally bought a second vehicle, which we had needed for a while. But, you know, I decided to get into golf. I got all this new equipment. So, like, I enjoyed my financial success. And I think that's important that I was able to do that. However, here we are. You know, I just recently got done with my taxes. And, boy, was that just a blast to do. But, all right, let's talk about how did I get to that mark? How did I get to this seemingly super successful year? And you've heard me talk about it on the podcast before. It really is relationships with other people. But specifically what happened this past year was retainers. Now, you'd heard me talk about retainers before, and you had heard me talk about some particular retainers that I had. Starting the year out, I had two retainers in the bag already, and one of them, and they were taking up a lot of, buying up a lot of my time on a monthly basis. One of them, I think, started out $3,200 a month, with the other one being $1,200 a month, and that was fantastic because that was pretty much my monthly budget of what we needed to make in order to pay all our bills, groceries, fun money, and activities, and all these other things. So I was able to start the year off with that kind of safety blanket, for lack of a better term. And that was fantastic. What happened throughout the year is I took that $3,200 retainer and I was able to negotiate it up to $5,500. And that automatically gave me, you know, $2,300 more to the budget. Plus, towards the end of the year, I added another retainer on. And so through those retainers, through that money that was coming in every month, I was able to reach this milestone. Now, of course, I was still doing other work and wasn't 100% relying on these retainers for my source of income. And I had some other larger projects come through as well. And so that's what kind of, for lack of a term, lack of a better term, catapulted me to this number that was so much larger than the year before, at least in my eyes. In my eyes, this was, I mean, I'm talking about doubling what I made the year before, very close to doubling. And so to me, that's just a humongous difference. So that's how I got there. You know, and go back and listen to episode where I talk about retainers and stuff, and I'll tell you kind of, you know, how I came into these retainers. But at the end of the day, again, it comes down to relationships. I believe that freelancers that are successful are people that are able to foster and nurture good relationships, more so than they are able to make the coolest stinking thing you've ever seen on the web or the best looking design you've ever seen. Freelancers that are successful are able to understand the importance of relationships. They're able to invest in relationships, and it's those relationships that allow them to be successful. All right. So that's how I got to this point of having what I would consider my most successful year. Let's talk about some of the challenges, though, that came along with that. Because I was not Scrooge McDuck in it, diving into this big, you know, pool of gold here, just, you know, being like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. There were challenges. I struggled this year, and I'm still struggling into, you know, the current year, 2017 now. And, you know, no, I'm not whining. I'm not struggling financially or anything like that. I'm very happy. You know, and at the same time, I've worked hard to get here. So I'm not going to, like, apologize that I'm able to, you know, in my eyes, make a large sum of money in order to support my family. You know, I didn't get here just by pure luck. I worked my butt off for years to get here. But there's challenges that come along with this. So when it came to retainers, one of the ways I was to negotiate my retainer up was to allow more hours. You know, I didn't just simply add hours to make this new, moving from $3,200 to $5,500. I added more hours, but also negotiated the hourly rate up, which got me to that jump. So it wasn't an even time for money trade. I essentially got a raise and more time. But with that, you know, if I'm giving 50 hours to one company, 12 hours to another, and 16 to another, here I am talking about, you know, giving 70, 80 hours of my month to say, hey, this is yours, use it as you would like. The thing with retainers is when we're talking about time, you know, when you go to a job and you are there for 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, let's be honest, how much of that time is simply you sitting, having your butt in the seat, you know, not necessarily working, but you are there. And so that counts as you're there. That's time. That's not the way that a remote freelancer who's on retainer necessarily works, if you're being honest. I'm only counting time when I am doing work. If I get up to, you know, maybe just take the dogs outside or just take a break or lunch or whatever, the clock doesn't run. If I'm sitting here watching YouTube instead of, you know, building out this custom WordPress theme that needs to be designed or needs to be built, the clock's not running. 70, 80 hours of my time per month is like somebody having a job that needs them to work, you know, 120 hours a month or something along those lines. So really, if I wanted to keep a, you know, typical schedule, like those who go to work, that's all the time that I have. There's zero room for any other work. But one thing I did know is that, again, having to do with relationships, I could not just end these other relationships that I had, because retainers are not going to last forever. At the moment, I am riding a retainer high, and that is great, and I hope that it continues for the foreseeable future. But there will come a time that a retainer will change, or a retainer will go away, or maybe a new retainer, you know, comes in or whatever. But if I was to just have all of my focus on this retainer work that I have, and one of them goes away, I'm screwed. Like, that, it's that simple. I cannot become complacent to where right now, in the moment, things are fantastic financially. I cannot let that just let me be lazy. That can't happen. So I started to get this anxiety, and this sounds backwards, and even when I tell my wife about it or tell their people about it, they don't really understand. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, I'm not sure, but with the more success financially that I have had since going full-time as a freelancer, the more money I make, the more anxiety about money I have. So I was caught in a position about mid-year, maybe the last quarter of 2016, where there was just a tremendous amount of work that was on my plate that I had to do between my retainers, between other projects and everything. I was just literally just brain numb by the end of the day, because there was just so much. I had said yes to so many different things, and I hadn't said no, so my plate was, you know, had runneth over to the max. But here I am making this money, so, you know, how do you say no to people wanting to give you money and wanting to work with you, right? That, at least that's how I felt. How do I say no to that when I know that, oh, maybe that's a weekend's worth of work to make, you know, $2,500 or something like that? How do you turn that away? So I struggled a lot with, you know, just kind of keeping my own sanity, just from sheer levels of the amount of work. You couple that with the anxiety that I have these fits of anxiety where I become really worried that tomorrow I'm going to get an email or get a phone call and just say, you know what, this isn't really working for us. We're not really getting what we feel is the value out of this, and we no longer need you on retainer. You know, I have that thought frequently enough to where I have a game plan. If somebody was come to me and say that, you know, I have a plan to try to salvage that retainer rather than just lose it altogether. But, you know, these were thoughts that I started to really struggle with towards the end of my year. And it didn't necessarily give me the time or mind space to, in my opinion, thoroughly enjoy this level of success that I have reached. And, you know, as I'm talking about it, talking into this microphone and you guys are listening to this, I'm not like, I keep saying this level of success, right? I think everybody has their own level of success. For me, I am at a, not the, the top level of what I feel the most success I could ever have, but I'm at a new level, one that I didn't think I would get to this soon, having only been freelancing on, you know, full time for 3 years. So I don't want this to come across as like this dude is just, you know, all about himself and patting himself on the back. But at the same time, I don't want to come off so humble that, you know, it's like, oh, how did I get here? It's just luck of the draw, or I'm so blessed. Because it's not like that. I've worked my ass off for a number of years to get here. So it's kind of that, you know, this is out in the public and you kind of have to walk that line a little bit. But I digress. So here we are at the end of 2016. You know, this year's been great. It's been a shift and a struggle for me to go from, you know, project to project to project to now I have this retainer work and this time given to people. So I'm also doing a lot of kind of smaller tasks or small site updates for things that it's not my most fun work to do, but I've just found myself to be so overwhelmed with all this work on my plate. And I'm having a hard time saying no to things. And you couple that with the anxiety that I have about, you know, the financial future of my family and stuff. And I didn't get depressed or anything, but there was just this kind of down feeling for a little bit. And that seems backwards. If you, you know, jumped from this part of the episode to the first part, or you went from the first part to this one, you'd be like, well, how the hell did you get from this much money and feeling stoked to talking about feeling down about your success? This is how my year went. Like, I don't know, I'm not sure what else to say, but, you know, this is how my year went. I struggled with the switch from project-driven work to retainer work. I had committed myself or overcommitted myself to too many hours to where it wasn't a smooth transition for me. I went from the beginning to the end of the race very quickly, and I was paying the price. I was keeping up, and, you know, things weren't suffering in terms of, you know, work, and I wasn't missing deadlines and except the occasional one here or there, but it put me through at the end of the day. I wanted to make myself a margarita, sit down, watch TV, and do nothing else. You know, I can't tell you how many weekends I worked at the, you know, last quarter of the year. It was rare if I didn't work a weekend. And that was hard. So that was challenging. So, you know, having the ability to look back on our previous year, and I think this is why it's important for everybody to look back and take stock in what your last year was and look at the good things, look at the bad things. You know, it's got me thinking this whole year so far in 2017, which, you know, at this point we're 4 full months into, it's got me thinking about things. How do I not remain complacent? How do I make sure that I nurture these relationships that I have with these agencies that have me on a retainer to make sure that they feel and they know they are getting value from me? Because at the end of the day, I'm not in a retainer situation in order to simply know that a check comes on the first of every month. I want to make sure that the agency that I'm working with on retainer feels they are getting more value from me than they are paying for me. You know, that's part of the value proposition of retainers, is that you're going to buy this time, and because you're going to buy it, you know, you're going to get a little bit of a better rate. So as long as they're using those hours, I want them to feel that, man, like, we're only paying X amount of dollars for this amount of time, and this is working really, really well for our business's standpoint. I said it a bunch in this episode, but complacency is the concern for me this year. So I've spent the beginning of 2017 so far with the lessons that I've learned in 2016 in terms of retainers, in terms of a more financial freedom. I've learned that I need to keep my eye on the prize. I need to remain diligent, because if I sit on my ass and do nothing, I don't know when, could be 2 months, could be 4 months, could be 6 months, who knows, but these retainers will not exist anymore. And what will I do This is the question I ask myself. What would I do if tomorrow these retainers were gone? That's the thought I have. Because that's the thought I have, this year I feel like I've shifted gears a little bit in my brain. I went from enjoying the success that I had last year to almost repositioning myself in my own mind back to somewhat of the underdog. Back to the person that feels I'm going to prove to people that I can do this on my own, that I can remain successful. And, you know, obviously support my family. That's the big one. But I almost need that chip on my shoulder a little bit. I almost need that drive or that unknown, which does drive me as a freelancer, to push forward, not be complacent, and find, even if it's not new ways, but find ways to build out other relationships to where if something happens, if something goes away, it's not, well, crap, you know, 50% of my income for the year was just lost. I don't want to be in that position. It's up to me to make sure that I don't end up in that position. I'm solely responsible for that. To recap, 2016 was the most successful year that I have had as a freelancer since going full-time, you know, roughly 3 years ago. I couldn't have known that I would have gotten to this point. There's a lot of factors that went into me reaching, you know, this level of success that I deem high. You know, not only work ethic, not only pushing and persevering and learning and always trying to be better and do better and enjoying what it is that I do and not letting the, you know, little things bother me as much and having the support of my wife and family and all of these things go into this, right? But if I was to go back 4 years, I was at a job I hated. It made me feel bad on the inside. I freelance on the side. I'd work, I'd go home, and I'd work some more. How many of you guys are in that position right now? Probably the majority of you. I did that for 5, 6, 7+ years in order to get to this point. It's not that 1 year, I did one thing in 1 year that just transformed everything. 2016 is a culmination of everything that's happened before that. And I don't want you to get lost in the number that I read off at the beginning of the podcast. Because at the end of the day, I could still make, let's say, half of that and live a very fulfilling and happy life. In fact, I did that the year before. I was very happy about where I was the year before. And I see so many people who offer courses, classes, all these different things, right? That it's all about money. It's all about making six figures. It's all about the amount of cars you have in your driveway. And all of that stuff is pure bullshit. If that is what you are after, freelancing is not for you. You need a get-rich-quick scheme. That's what a lot of people are offering. The tone changed a little bit here because at the end of the day, I care about helping other freelancers. And when it comes to freelancing, if you stick with it, you push hard to get better, you invest in relationships, like, it's not going to be overnight. You can't expect, oh, I'm going to freelance and then, you know, if I don't make enough money this month, I guess I'll do something else. You have to be committed to it. There's no reason that I'm any different from you guys. I'm some dude who lives in Oklahoma, who's standing in a house that he rents right now, in his office, talking into a microphone. That's all I am. I don't have any, you know, I wasn't given this money to start my business off or anything like that. I wasn't handed accounts or anything like that. I've been working at this for a little bit here. I've learned a lot. I've changed. I've updated things. I've been flexible enough to I guess, reinvent myself one or two times. There's no reason that you guys can't do that either. There's no reason that you, chances are, you probably are already on that path. You are already doing the things you need to be doing. You just need to be realistic about the time frame. It doesn't happen overnight. I had the most successful year I've ever had in my entire life. Just before I turned 30, by the way, last week, literally a week from tomorrow, will be, I had my 30th birthday. So there's a little extra bit of kind of retrospective look at the past, because I hit this big milestone of, you know, being alive for 3 decades. But just stick with it. just stick with it. Just invest. You know, yes, it takes sacrifice. You don't have to, like, be awake at all hours of the night and hustle your face off or anything like that, but just keep pushing. If you keep pushing, you're going to get there. You know, not to sound cliche, but it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And when I started out in 2008 teaching myself how to use Photoshop and build websites with the dream of doing this full time, if I would have let, because it wasn't until 4 or 5 years later that I probably actually knew what I was talking about, if at any one of those times I just stopped, I wouldn't be here. You're not looking at an, or you're not listening, I should say, to an overnight success. You're listening to somebody who is in your position. I'm still in your position. I'm still pushing every day to try to do this. Nothing comes easy. I have to work in order to maintain this success. I can't tell you how many times listen to podcasts on the way to work, work at a job that I didn't want to be at, but knew I had to support my family, drive home, listen to podcasts, get excited, come home, eat dinner with my family, and go to work. Weekends come around, I gotta work. I gotta do my other stuff. That's it. That's all I got. That was 2016, year in review. I'd love to hear from you guys. How did 2016 go for you? Looking back at 2016, how does that affect 2017 for you? And where are you at? A lot of times, it's hard to have kind of that camaraderie or that sounding board to tell people, you know, hey, here's how my year went. Good or bad, here's how my year went. It's nice to be able to have conversations with other people who do what you do, other people who are freelancers that can celebrate with you, lift you up if there maybe 2016 wasn't the best year of your life, and be excited for you for what you're doing in 2017. I'm lucky enough to have, you know, a few of those people outside of my family that I'm able to share this with that helped me, and it makes a difference. So don't hesitate to reach out. I can be that person for you. rj@rjmccollum.com. You can just go to rjmccollum.com. You can fill out the form on my site. That's how a lot of people get in touch with me, and it's actually easier that way. Or just reach out on Twitter, @rjmccollum. Hey, dude, love your podcast, hate your podcast. You know, whatever. Conversation can be really helpful for freelancers. So that's all I got for you. I will say this. More shows are coming. They're coming. I've been busy, but they're coming. So I appreciate you guys for listening as always. I hope that your 2016 was successful and that 2017 is going well for you. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, we'll talk to you then. Like that.